Oh, hello. Can we please talk about UFC Vegas 54 the weekend? Obviously, headlined by Jan Blachowicz and Alexander Rakic. So I'm going to be going through that, place a few bets. Some were good. Like normally, I mean, my bets are terrible. That's usually my moniker. But there were a couple on there that I had a sneaky suspicion. And there was one that was actually spot on perfect because I even called the exact submission that he'd catch him with. That almost never happens. So I'm gonna revel in it whilst I can. Anyway, I'm going to be recapping that event, plus having a quick look at what's going on in the news. Mostly, as you know, fighters always going back and forth on Twitter because they're all adults that can just, trash each other on Twitter and just air all their little grievances out for the world to see, because that's what we like, isn't it? It's what we like. Anyway, let's dig into the Burt Locker episode 117. Right, so UFC Vegas 54, there were a lot of good fights, actually, and there was a few that I didn't bet on that I just want to give a quick shout-out to. Mr. Michael Johnson, back on track in a big way. Obviously, Michael Johnson, he's had his ups and his downs, and I've always rated him as a pretty decent fighter, to be fair, but he's had a rough go of it lately, and to come back and win in that kind of fashion. He beat a guy called Alan Patrick. And it was just a perfect combination. It was brilliant. He really showed off his hand speed. Because that's the thing. Like Michael Johnson, he's got very, very good hand speed. And he's a very good boxer. And if he lands those combinations on you, you're going to be in trouble. That was a lovely punch to finish the combo. Really nice knockout. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, go back and watch that. Shout out Michael Johnson. Good to see you back in the winner's circle. Then you had Hadley versus Nascimento, and this went roughly as I thought it would go. I thought that Nascimento might stand a chance of getting the submission. That was what the money went on. But I did back Nascimento just as an underdog, just straight up to win, because he was an underdog. And I did think that because Jake Hadley, he's really good, but generally speaking, he tends to be able to bully people with his size who are a little bit smaller than he is, because generally speaking, at flyweight, he is the bigger man. And that wasn't the case going into this one. And I did think that was going to be an issue. And the fact that Nascimento is such a good grappler, because he fights out of a shooter box with Charles Oliveira. I think he's one of Charles Oliveira's training partners. And let's be fair, Charles Oliveira is one of the best grapplers on this planet. So, yeah, it stood to reason. That was a good underdog bet. And so my bet grade on that one, pretty good. Pretty good. And but look, it's not the last we've seen of Jake Hadley. Jake Hadley will learn from this loss and he'll come back. But I just thought it was stylistically it was a tough matchup for him, that one. Anyway, we've got one to keep an eye on is Mr. Manuel Torres. I'm definitely going to be keeping one eye on this lad because he looked brilliant. He does what I like to call intelligent brawling. He's a Mexican fighter, and you know how the UFC, they love to a Mexican fighter to get behind. So I would say he's going to get quite a lot of the old PR machine. Maybe get a little touch of that Dana White privilege, let's hope. And look, Torres, the guy who's fighting Camacho, he's pretty good, but he's one of those guys that's, he's too willing to get hit. And when you've got a guy like Torres, who's what I like to call an intelligent brawler, he will draw you into a brawl, and he will make you think that you're both swinging and hitting, but actually he's the only one hitting, and you're the one getting battered, and then you're going to end up on the end of a left hook. It was a really nice left hook. He kind of slipped the right, landed with the left, and knocked Camacho out. Really great win. And that's 12 of 13 wins by way of first round knockout as well, by the way. So, Manuel Torres. Keep an eye on that guy. Ribas versus Chukagian. Amanda Ribas. Looking at Ribas, look, at the end of the day, this was the only one on my accumulator, my just win-only accumulator, that let me down. I was actually devastated. She lost by split decision. Honestly, that could have gone to either fighter. It wasn't a robbery. It was a very, very close fight. I didn't know whose hand was going to get raised at the end of that. But One thing I would say is that Hebash should not be fighting at 125. She should be fighting at 115. She looked tiny against Shu Kagan, didn't she? Was that just me? I mean, like, let me know in the comments. I thought that Hebash just looked really undersized at 125 pounds. I think that realistically, she should head back down to 115. I think she will have far more success there. Now, yeah, Grant versus Smolka. I did say that this was going to be one of the fights of the night. And boy, was it. It was a fantastic contest. Go back and watch that fight if you get a chance. And you know what? It was just lovely to see Davy Grant get the better of that one. I'm a big fan of Davy Grant. He's got a very fan-friendly fighting style, and I love that. And for him to get that brutal knockout win by, because he kind of, you know, because he kicked the leg. He really compromised Smolka's leg. It was really beautifully done, but it was just one calf kick too many. Smolka's leg went out from under him, which led to a very sloppy takedown. Grant saw it from a mile out and just kind of landed some of the most vicious ground and pound shots I've seen in a while. Hats off to you, Davy Grant. Very, very good. Very good. Good fight, and very happy to see Davy Grant back in the win column there. And Ryan Spann versus Ion Cutelaba. Well, I did call it, you know, and you don't get any more. Bet grade was perfect on this one, because not only did I say that Ryan Spann would come in as an underdog, he was an underdog in this fight. Also, I said that Ryan Spann was going to get the submission, but I also even said that it was likely to be the guillotine, because Ryan Spann loves that guillotine, and Ion Cutelaba, he's known for shooting in sloppy. That's what she said. And so look, that was a perfect bet. I'm very happy with that. Very happy for Ryan Spann. Even happier for the 10-1 that I got on the submission, because I thought I didn't do another video, unfortunately, but they didn't have the bet, didn't have the odds on the submission at the time I did my video last week. But I did say to go and have a look at the odds on the submission, because if they're any good, if they're better than 4-1, you probably want to take that. And significantly better than 4-1. Got 10-1 on that. Very happy. Very happy with that. And then you had big Jan Blachowicz versus Aleksander Rakic. Now, look, at the end of the day, it was obviously, if you saw the fight, you know the result. It was ended by a doctor stoppage because, unfortunately, I think Rakic, she blew out his MCL or ACL. Whichever one's on the outside. Maybe ACL. Anyway, something to do with his knee. It wasn't great. It was unfortunate, but it was a close fight. It wasn't like he was... Because actually, one of the things that I noticed more than anything was that I thought that Rakic would have a real advantage when it came to kicking, specifically the low kicks. And I was very wrong there, because Jan Blachowicz has clearly been drilling that, because he checked pretty much every single one of Rakic's kicks. And I think that might have been what kind of led to some of the problems with his leg. He was checking all those kicks. So like you could see that was starting to bother Rakic. And he was returning with his own low kicks. But you see the size of Rakic's calf. But it was his other knee that went. But it could have well been that he couldn't put enough weight on his left leg. So he's favouring his right leg, putting more weight on there. I think, honestly, I do think that Jan Blachowicz was probably getting the better slightly of that fight. It was close. It was a close fight. But, you know, unfortunate for Rakic. Hopefully he can get that repaired and make a comeback. But for the time being, I want to see Jan Blachowicz back in that title fight against the winner of Teixeira and Jiří Prochazka. And I'm a big fan of Jan Blachowicz, Polish power man. He's such a likable guy, and I'd love to see him go about getting that belt back. So yeah. Overall, only one let me down on the ACCA, which was Amanda Hebas, which was unfortunate. That fight could have gone either way. But you know what? Better luck next time, AJ. I very rarely put these bets on with any illusions of winning anything, because a lot of the bets are just, as I say, pretty bloody terrible. But it wasn't a bad one this week. Wasn't a bad one. I just want to say thank you for all your support. If you could do me a favour, though, and like and subscribe, if you could share, if you could just copy the link and then tweet it out, just get my videos out there, because I just want to try and get more eyeballs on it. Really, I do this because I really enjoy it, but I'd like to make something of it. So, you know, and there's also my if you want for other ways to support the show, there's the Patreon as well. You get early access to the picks, and there is some exclusive content that goes on there. I did miss it out last week, but usually there's a couple of bits that I only put on the Patreon. So yeah, just and it's only £1 a month, and it's just a great way to support the show, because I'm trying to just, you know, do something with it. So yeah, anyway, thanks for your support, and you know, would love it if you could just like, share, subscribe, comment. Let me, Joan, tell me something in the comments. Call me a dickhead for all I care. It all helps the algorithm, all right? Just throw me some abuse or whatever. I don't know. You know, keep it fairly clean though. Don't say anything too horrible. But so then we've got in the news, one of the main things we've seen, Daniel Cormier and Tony going back and forth on Twitter, because like, you've got yeah, Tony Ferguson is, it all stuck, right. Now, the thing is, one of the things is like, he keeps on saying, yeah, I can't even find the bloody tweet now. What have I done with that? God damn it. Hold on. There we go. So yeah, he tweeted out like, how not to make weight, ladies and gentlemen. Should have stripped them like they did Charles. Shout out to all those doing it right and keeping the sport clean. So yeah, because obviously we all knew Daniel Cormier didn't make weight that time. He used the towel and whatever. But at the end of the day, like, he should, like, it's the commission's job to catch him out there, not anyone else's. But one thing I would say is that a lot of people are saying, why the hell is Tony Ferguson going in at Daniel Cormier? And Daniel Cormier is like kind of holding his hands up going, oh, I don't know why you're coming at me, Tony. It's like, I think the tweet has since been deleted, because I did look for it yesterday. But I am certain, let me know in the comments if you saw it as well, but I am fairly sure that DC started this by sticking his oar in where it didn't belong, calling for Tony Ferguson to retire and hang it up. Like, you know, he put a tweet out there saying, Tony Ferguson, you know, with all due respect, I think it's time that you hung it up. I think Tony Ferguson took exception to that and basically told him to shut the fuck up, fathead. You know what I mean? You enjoy your retirement. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And it was that first response. Like, but that response was to Daniel Cormier sticking his oar in where it was not needed. Like, you know, like, at the end of the day, Tony Ferguson looked better in that last fight than he has done in years. I honestly don't think the time is now for Tony to hang up. But I do remember seeing a tweet from Daniel Cormier that I thought, even as I was reading it, I was like, oh, that's a bit patronising, isn't it? It's like, oh, you should probably hang it up now, Tony, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, and I knew instantly Tony wasn't going to take kindly to that. Look, let me know in the comments, did I dream that? Joey, did I dream that tweet? I'm sure I saw it. I don't know if it's... I think Daniel Cormier has since deleted it to make it look like Tony Ferguson, who's just been, like, unwarrantedly, you know, attacking Daniel Cormier. I don't think that's the case. And Tony Ferguson, yeah, he has just been trying to flame Daniel Cormier, and Daniel Cormier is just going, oh, I don't know. Because even on the Believe You Me podcast, they said, well, I don't know why Tony's having a go at, why is he coming in at Daniel Cormier? And it's like, I think the answer to that is that Daniel Cormier, like, basically told Tony that he should hang it up. And it's like, not really funny, but coming from a fellow fighter, that's kind of condescending and kind of shitty. Going to, like, I don't think DC needed to tweet that first one out. And I knew he was going to get a response. And then he's like, oh, I don't know why you're attacking me. Either way, it's the height of entertainment. And there's not much else going on in the MMA world right now, other than, like, the usual clickbaity bullshit. So anyway, Andrea Lee fought the weekend. She lost to this Brazilian chick. And the Brazilian chick, I think, poked her in the eye or something. The ref didn't see it, and she was holding onto the gloves. Look, those are dirty tactics. That's what those are. But it's up to the referee to spot those, right? And their corner was getting a bit amped up. And in their corner, like, he said, oh, it's just a dirty fucking Brazilian. It's like, look. And then you've got fucking BJPenn.com deciding to use the fucking clickbait, trying to get the outrage, saying Cornerman was racist. Number one. Brazil is a nation, not a race. There are many different races in the country of Brazil. Brazil is a nation. So that wasn't a racist comment by the very definition. At the very worst, it was ill-advised and kind of insensitive. However, he was, like, they're trying to make it sound like he was calling Brazilians dirty. He wasn't doing that. He was saying that the fighter they were fighting was Brazilian and that she was fighting dirty, which she was, to be fair, she was fighting pretty dirty. And look, he's just upset in the corner trying to hype up his fighter. He wasn't being racist. He has nothing to apologize for. People need to stop being so fucking sensitive. I can't believe that virtue signaling has started to bleed its way into fucking mixed martial arts now. You know what I mean? For people that enjoy watching fucking two human beings like punch each other in the face, like, until one of them is incapacitated, you're a fucking sensitive motherfuckers, aren't you? Huh? God damn it. Why can't people just not be so fucking sensitive? Like, and also, it's bullshit. It's a bullshit headline. He wasn't being racist. He was just... Was he being a little insensitive? Sure. Not racist. Just stop with that clickbaity bullshit. And I'll leave that at there. Let's go into something a little bit more chipper, like Troll of the Week. But this one got me. Like, I really did enjoy it. Because, look, at the end of the day, I'm not one to go back over old fights and say, oh, but this person won, we all knew it, because look, we have too many Max Holloway fans doing that. We all know it. Do you know what I mean? There's like, there's the, and before that guy pitches in again, who fucking like left a 5-page comment a few weeks ago saying, oh, what MMA journalists are still saying that Max Holloway won that second fight. I didn't say MMA journalists, did I? I said Max fans, especially on fucking Twitter and on fucking Facebook and that shit, they're all still saying, oh, but he won the second Volk fight. Anyway, my point is, I don't like to dwell on those fights. I just think, you know, you accept the judge's decision for what it is. And I felt the same about the McGregor-Diaz 2 fight. That being said, it was close. But this meme still made me laugh, so I'm going to pop it up here. It's, so this is from the sitcom Parks and Recreation. You've got Anne and Ron Swanson, she's trying to kind of do a little medical evaluation on him. So, have you got any mental illness in your family? And he just looks and says, I have a cousin who thinks that McGregor won the second fight with Nate. Which is saying that those people are mentally ill, you see? So, yeah. No, anyway, it just combines, it's one of my favorite sitcoms, and, you know, combines that with an MMA meme, I'm pretty happy with that. And then this one as well, I really enjoyed. I actually had to turn it into my own one because I saw the meme, like, it copied the image, but then it didn't show, like, it was a caption that somebody had left, so I can't take the credit. It was on Reddit, and somebody said, hey, man, Daniel Cormier is one hell of a country singer. And I kind of stole that because, actually, you know what? I didn't realise he does look a lot like Darius Rucker. Like, I'm into country music. I like country music. It's like, yeah, Darius Rucker does that one wagon wheel. You heard that one? Anyway, Darius Rucker's brilliant. He's a very good country artist. I would thoroughly recommend checking him out. But anyway, yeah, I didn't realise that he does actually have a really good resemblance for Daniel Cormier. So I've made my own meme there. I put it up saying, look, say what you will about Daniel Cormier, but he is one hell of a country singer. So DC, stick to the country singing. And stop telling Tony to retire, because you already knew what was going to happen. You knew that he was going to come back at you. You knew that. Joey, you kind of wanted the conflict, didn't you? You did. Come on, admit it. You did. A little bit. Anyway, I am going to be looking at who is fighting this weekend. Let's have a very quick look at UFC.com, because I'm fairly sure there is a fight. Oh, it's Holly Holm, isn't it? Holly Holm is still bloody going. Fucking hell, Holly. I thought you'd retired. Sorry. Not that I'm telling her to retire. Far be it. You know, I wouldn't ever do that, DC. yeah, Holly Holm against Ketlin Vieira. That should be interesting. Ketlin Vieira is pretty good, to be fair. Who else you got on here? Ponzinibbio against Michelle Pereira. That is an interesting fight. That could be quite fun, to be fair. Eric Anders against Jin-Yong Park. That's not bad. Yeah, you got some fighters on here that should be. Oh, Tabitha Ricci. Oh, I do like Tabitha Ricci. She's it's either Tabitha Ricci or Tabitha Ricci, but yeah, she's one of my favourites. Dude, I might be in love with her a little bit. Just a little bit. Don't tell her though. Don't look. Tell her I've got to go. Tell her I've got to go. Tell her I love her, but I've got to go. All right. Keep those eyes locked. Those bets terrible.